door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and the music that ushers us into the show and leads us out of the show is called Only You. It was written by my friends Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee of Lyra Project. You can find their music on Lyra, L-Y-R-A, project.com. So what do you think of when you hear the words dysfunctional family, inner child? I know for me and people of a certain age, we go back to the 1980s. When the gentleman who's waiting on the other end of the line was on started doing a lot of PBS specials on the subject. His name is John Bradshaw, and he is a Renaissance man. He's an author, a TV personality. He's a philosopher, a counselor, a theologian, an educator, and what I call a recovery pioneer, and definitely an elder. He's been in the field for a very long time. And he's written a book that is sitting next to me, and it's quite dog-eared. I've had it for the last few months, and I've spilled stuff on it, unfortunately. But that tells me that it's well-loved. I've shared it with clients, with other therapists, on various interviews that I've done talking about relationships. It's called Post-Romantic Stress Disorder, What to Do When the Honeymoon is Over, New Discoveries About Lust, Love, and Saving Your Marriage Before It's Too Late. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Ah, my pleasure. So those two words, those two L words, lust and love, what's the right difference between them, and why do we get them confused?
Well, lust, my book is based on three discoveries by Helen Fisher, the anthropologist at Rutgers, and doing brain SMRIs or fMRIs. She discovered that we have a program called lust, and it is different than the program called in love, and that is different than the program called attachment. So lust is simply the desire to have sex with somebody, and it sort of ensures that the human race is going to go on. In love is another program that lasts about 19 months, 12 to 19 months. And it evolved to get us to meet, mate, and procreate. In other words, it was not intended for long-term love. It just wants you to find a compatible sex partner as a way to enter into a relationship that hopefully will go on and you'll form a family and whatever, but the in love does not last. The hyper state of in love, the passion, the romance, wanting to talk to each other all the time. When you lust, you can have sex with somebody and kind of want to get out of there right away. In love, it's not like that. You want to be with your lover for hours, and you can talk to him for hours. So you're in a bona fide altered state of consciousness when you're in love. You are, I talk about my book as being high risk for codependent people who understand themselves as codependent or addicts or people with, struggling to form a solid sense of self. They're all, high risk for. Once the in-love program ends, so does the testosterone, which absolutely is driven to its highest degree when you're in love. But when that program ends, you don't have that kind of passionate, wild, crazy longing for each other. You still love, but you're now beginning to deal with love as attachment, and that when attachment comes in, you're dealing with different chemicals. In love is fired by dopamine and norepinephrine and reduced serotonin, when you're in attachment program, you have oxytocin and vasopressin. These are called the cuddle chemicals. Mm-hmm. And it's really about establishing a bond and a friendship and about preparing yourself to have offspring, although a lot of people don't have babies. They may have a career with their own creativeness and their own creations. Those are all part of the preparation for offspring, a nurturing and a caring. John Gottman, in studies that he did over a 30-year period, found that 89% of 30 couples said that their marriage deteriorated after they were married and after they had children, because the children come into play and immediately the marriage is put into a triangle. And so they were shocked at their results, that 89% of people would say our marriage got worse after children came. Mm-hmm. But people are not prepared. We think we identify in love as love. People say, oh, well, I love my wife, but I'm not in love with her. Well, that's the way it ought to be. But sort of in love is taken over as the definition of true love. And it's not. It's a prelude to love. It's a non-working prelude. You don't have to work when you're in love. It's all spontaneous, and you're fired up, and you're in an altered state of consciousness. So anybody prone to addiction is going to be prone to love affairs, etc.
So that really reframes the concept of what in love and what love is. Now, we're going to go to break shortly, but I want to make sure that people understand that you're not talking about people leaving a relationship just because the in love goes away. That's when the real work begins.
That's why I wrote this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you did.
I've seen couples in my own practice. I went back and looked at files, and I just had an abnormal amount of people leaving their marriage because they didn't feel that fire anymore, that passion. Now, people come back around, they can learn to rekindle that, but when you're in love, you don't deal with the family of origin differences. You just reframe them. You think that, you know, the way he behaves is really cute. And, you know, I mean, in the second you get married or a year after you're married, all of his little idiosyncrasies are a big pain in the ass.
Right.
And she's taking an hour and 15 minutes to get dressed. Isn't that adorable till you've been married a year? And it's not adorable anymore.
Oh, and, no.
We can go through a lot of like a little bit. I mean, some of the very things, the idiocratic things that you were attracted to become mm-hmm. your main problems, mm-hmm. which is astonishing, really.
Yeah, so amazing. So, folks, I want to direct you to John's website, MissJohnBradshaw.com, and there you're going to find links to different articles, videos, workshops that he's doing, and definitely his books, and especially this one, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, which I encourage you to get. So we're going to catch you on the other side of the break.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your soul's calling is the answer to someone else's prayer. Are you ready to be that answer? Dr. Laurel Geis is a spiritual author, speaker, and mentor dedicated to helping you live your soul's calling. Go to laurelgeist.com now and sign up for Laurel's newsletter. Let's get you going with classes, mentoring, and support to ignite your soul-guided life today.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio, talk radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
Welcome back to the last portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is John Bradshaw. And we've been talking about his book called Post-Romantic Stress Disorder, What to Do When the Honeymoon is Over. So, John, why do some relationships take a nosedive while others soar and sustain over the years?
Say that again, Edie.
Why do some relationships take a nosedive while others do what I call soar and sustain? Why do they keep on? Like, what do they have in common, the ones that...
I think the ones that can sustain the subsiding of the sex drive, because when that in love program ends, you go back to your normal testosterone. So guys usually have a higher testosterone, but when you're in love, that thing is magnified, and couples, I've heard people say they thought they died and went to heaven when they were in love, because the sex was so good. And I certainly experienced that myself. And then I remember, being married and suddenly a year or 2 years later, it just almost like the lights dimmed or something. Because now you're having to deal with the terrible dailiness and you're having to go back to your work and your job and your issues. Not that you didn't work, but lots of people take a lot of time off when they're in love. And the ones that make it have, the couples each have a high sense of self-esteem. They have a high sense of solid self. And the ones that don't usually have a low sense of self, highly shame-based, that they feel frightened to be exposed, and so they find somebody they can tell all their secrets to, and suddenly it seems like that's ending because the sex is ending. And about 70% of the people polled equated being in love with love, what I call eros with agape. Eros is the sexual desire and love, and that's totally fired up when you're in love. But so it has to do with a solid sense of self. David Snarch talks about a solid sense of self as arguably mankind's highest evolutionary achievement. If you don't have a sense of self, how can you give yourself to somebody? Now, the great thing about marriage is that it can be the greatest psychotherapy you've ever had, because the two of you are going to have to grow, and you're going to have two family systems resolved in your marriage. And the Hatfields and the McCoys, they got to get all that together. And it's terribly difficult when you're in love. You don't argue very much, occasionally maybe, but not very much. And it's just what I call the non-working prelude to love. Agape, or true love, sustaining love, with that core of deep friendship, that is going to take work. You're going to have to deal with your family of origin rules, covert and overt. You're going to have to deal with your own inner child, what I've called the inner child, your wounds from the past, because they're going to get in the way of your relationship. I counsel over 800 people over 20 years, 800 marriages, and most of the fights were two kids fighting, two wounded kids fighting. And that was astonishing, to see grown-ups, PhDs, fighting over who gets the green Christmas tree balls in their divorce and stuff. And I laugh now at myself, and my wife and I laugh at it because we get into these childish things, and we're fortunately at a point where we can suddenly realize how ridiculous this argument is. Mm-hmm. And being able to laugh at it.
Yeah. So are you finding that you're arguing about things that you're really not arguing about, what you think you're arguing about? It goes beneath the surface of that. It's not about the red or green Christmas balls.
Totally. I mean, it's two kids fighting. And mm-hmm. whatever your wounds are, I grew up in the Great Depression, you know, where everybody was running around turning off lights and couldn't talk on the phone if it was long distance because it cost too much. And, you know, all the fears and anxieties of that. Well, you know, I'm a millionaire now, but I carry all that into my life. I'm running around worried about groceries and why are we spending so much? And for God's sake, don't leave that food on your table to my young daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all what I heard over and over again. Don't waste food. And all those things come out in your marriage. Now, I've gotten to a place where I'm better and better with it, and I can recognize that it's a little kid frightened and surrounded with anxiety that's talking, you know, instead of the grown-up me. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to recognize that, and that's one of the big chapters in my book. And, of course, it's the soul of a lot of my work, healing that inner child, dealing with those wounds from the past and bringing them into the present and, you know, healing them. There is a way to heal them. I've had over 500,000 people do my inner child workshop, and it's possible to have extraordinary results with that. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole lot that's got to get worked through. You know, Mark Saul once said, we stayed together because of the children. Who were the children? Well, we were the children. Are we divorced because of the children? Who were the children? We were the children.
So what are some of what you call repair mechanisms to help piece wounds back together, to help cauterize the wounds?
Well, it's a kind of grief work. You've got to get back and understand that parents didn't hurt you deliberately. I mean, there may be some cases where the abuse is just outright evil, but most of the time they were doing the best they knew how to do. But they were also carrying out what had happened to them. So we don't blame parents. We hold what they did accountable, and we want people to see it's not about parents, it's about their immaturity or their lack of knowledge about raising a child that hurts you. And so what we have to do is not blame them, but heal these wounds from the past. You know, we were constantly bombarded with nuns telling us, Sister Ida one day actually passed around actual pictures of hell. That's what she said they were.
Had she visited? Hadn't she know?
Yeah, I mean, here we are in the third grade looking at these damn pictures of charred bodies and burnt flesh. And anyway, she thought she was doing good. You know, let's scare the hell out of these kids.
Right.
But so, in other words, it's not about blame. It's about what happened to you. And you've got to heal those wounds because they're what I call your developmental dependency wounds. That is, you had certain needs when you were a toddler. I do this in my book, Homecoming. I go through each developmental state. Did you get your infancy needs met? Did you get your toddler needs met? You get your preschool needs met. And all of that, you know, it's sometimes a rough approximation, but you've got to get back to where you were hurt or you were abandoned or you were neglected or you were out and out abused. I mean, they hit us in those days. They hit us at school. They hit us at home. We've just finally realized that this hitting and stuff is a bit barbaric. You know, people now realize that a whole lot of that spare the rod and spoil the trowel comes from Hudibras, a poem by Butler, and most of the stuff comes from the book of one of the early books in the Bible, Proverbs. And we've seen how cruel people can be, like when we watch ISIS beheading people and all of that. That culture has carried a certain amount of that viciousness. So spanking children and all of that is really been challenged. Mm-hmm. I have that in my book, Reclaiming Virtue. I have a whole chapter entitled, Were You There When Jesus Spanked the Babies? Mm-hmm. And it's intended. It's intended to be a spoof.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Jesus Christ doesn't say one word about hitting kids.
Right. Absolutely, I'm with you on that one, John. Absolutely.
Yeah. We have to deal with all that. And the fact is, when you were in a child, you were in another state of consciousness. So in my workshops, I have people get back. I kind of do a lot of hypnotic stuff, help them get back into the feelings and the places where they were in childhood, and then with a group be able to write those out and grieve them with the support of people around you. That you've got to grieve those wounds or else they stay like black holes in your psyche, and they suck you back. Mm-hmm. And so when people are in marriages, they're age regressing a lot of the time. So there's work people can do if they really want to get serious about their marriage and not attribute it all to the lack of sex drive. In fact, the sex drive will come as you develop a stronger sense of self, because your sexuality is very much bound up with your sense of self. So that's why in that altered state of in love, a lot of codependent people can fall for that. You know, we have the whole thing now of love and sex addiction and love addiction. There's an incredible desire. I mean, I'd fall in love every month if I could. You know, if it were possible to live that way.
Sure.
And many people try to do that. They become love addicts. Mm-hmm. And they become, you know, anyway. So the other thing that I really think can help people is the work of Jeffrey Swartz at UCLA. Did these studies on the brain of people who were obsessive compulsives. And he found he and a colleague doing a 10-week therapy of four affirmations. They took a picture of their brain before this started the 10-week program. They took a picture after, and they were astonished that the very structure of the brain had changed in something like 80% of the people that did this. And so what Schwartz writes is that the will, the human will, is a physical force, and that you can change the very structure of your brain by willpower. And this is something we've thought about. We've done affirmations, and people don't realize that a lot of times those pay off later on. You don't see the results right away. But anyway, I you know, when I sobered up 50 years ago now, almost 50, 49 years ago, I heard a guy in the program say you have to act yourself into a right way of thinking and feeling. Don't try to think and feel yourself into a right way of acting.
And I love that quote.
Yeah, it's a great principle for married couples. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to tell people, especially in the last 10 years of my counseling, that you're coming here, you're in a rut, you don't know how to get out of it. And I got very, very assertive. I'd say, I know how to help you out of it. I'm going to tell you what to do. And if you won't do it, you leave. I fire you.
Oh, yeah.
I had tremendous success with that.
I bet. Well, I'm going to need to get a little bit lovingly assertive with you, John. I would love to go on for hours talking about this, but we are at the end of the show.
Oh, wow.
So
that's amazing.
I want to, again, direct you to John's website, which is johnbradshaw.com. Check out his book, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and the other, how many books?
I have seven books.
Okay, the other six books. Check out all the work that he's doing, and I'm so grateful that you're still here, that you're doing all this amazing work, and the world is blessed by your presence. So
thank you so much, Edie, and keep up your good work.
I will. So, folks, next week my guest is Kimberly Smythe, who wrote a book called Letting Go Again, and we're going to be talking about when an adoption story ends in tears. There's not always a happy ending when an adoptive parent or a birth parent reunites with the child that they gave up for adoption. So we're going to hear Kimberly's story next week. And if you want to be in touch with me, which I would love to have you do, go to www.opti-mystical.com or check me out on Facebook, Edie Weinstein, or It's All About Relationships. So until next week, I thank you, I bless you, I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships and sending hugs from here.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.